What challenges do the Boston Bruins present to your club? We had a lot of time talking to Blake and others about Bergeron and Marchand, and I mean, this is an upper echelon team. And
the challenges are the kind of the history of the Boston Bruins. So their original base structure involves Chera and Bergeron. So they've won like that, and over the years, they've just been a dominant defensive team, right? Really stingy. And this goes back coach over coach. So that's the foundation of the game. And where it turns for them is the years that then now you get Krug that comes in, and then McAvoy comes in, and DeBrus comes in, Pasternak comes in. So now there's a really, really strong skill level that gets injected to a team whose foundation was a very, very heavy, disciplined defensive game. So now they have both. Their DNA is still, you're not getting anything easy off the rush. The D aren't over-pinching if they can't get to it. There won't be a trading of chances with this team, and they're going to work you to the point that they're going to invite you to start that, because they just won't make you comfortable. You're not on that bench usually against Boston thinking, hey, we're getting a ton of offense, just stay with our game, right? You're not getting a whole lot here tonight, and they'd be very happy if you opened up your game, because they transition and they counter with that skill very quickly.
Marchand would be maybe the poster child of that sandpaper with skill mix. I mean, is he, in this NHL, today's NHL, is he a unique guy that can be in a top 15 or 20 score and still have 90 minutes of 10,
well,
90 penalty minutes?
So just on his points alone, he's unique, right? Just on, if he never hit anybody, he was never involved in anything after a whistle, his numbers would make him unique, and then you have a guy with a tremendous amount of grit and gets to all the heavy areas and usually causes some problems and infuriates a few people while he gets there. So that makes him a special player.
As an opposing coach, you must have thought over the years, this guy might not last. You, a lot of people maybe thought he wouldn't last. He's 85 points. He's got more points than Blake Wheeler.
Well, that was sorted out in the first year or two, right? If they hadn't killed him by then, they're not going to. So he had to answer the bell enough early on in his career, and they know he will. And having a guy that size on your blue line keeps things fairly calm. Nobody wants that.
How much are you missing the guy that size on your blue line for reasons of that?
Oh, you miss him. We're going to play Team USA at the World Cup in our opener of the elimination series, and Buff doesn't play for Team USA, and I bet you I had six forwards come up and tell me a story about how Buff had blown him up one night. They were all very, very excited about him not being in the lineup. So he's a decision changer, right? You take a look at just on penalty kill alone, when he's in our lineup and when he's not, where shots come from. The shots against on the flanks don't come from his side of the ice, because you look up and there's a guy that big in your shooting lane, you put it to the other side of the ice. So Dustin changes the games in a lot of ways.
You notice, too, that everybody's a little taller and bigger when he's out there?
I don't know. Like, we've got a big enough, hard enough team that I don't find us necessarily any different, certainly in any ways that you can measure. But I don't know. If I played forward, I'd be happy that he wasn't in the lineup. Get it in deep a little earlier when he is.
Paul, you've said before that Nashville brings out the best in this hockey club. Do you think Boston does the same for you, for your club too?
Well, we've had some agitating games, right? But the last three have been into extra innings, and they find a way to get physical. And I think that's good for both teams, that we'd be closer to when we're at our best. We're in those kind of games that are heavy hitters and lots of conversation between the benches.
Paul, the team you play tonight has been on a sort of collision course with the Toronto Maple Leafs for the playoffs for some time here.
You can't possibly ask me a question about
that. Wait a second.
Series.
I'm not finished asking
the
question.
Okay. I'm just prefacing where my answer is going.
You're in a position where you're fighting for first place. And
nice. You're bringing it back to the West.
Yeah. To play, you know, maybe a wild card team. I just wanted your opinion on the playoff structure. As a head coach of the National Hockey League, do you like the fact that we're in this division favored system as opposed to 1-8? Which one do you prefer?
I'm going to give you three pieces to this answer. The first piece was, boy, you got to be real careful about who you think you pick, right? You think I talked to Pete DeBoer. The team he doesn't want to face isn't in the playoffs right now. It was just an unusual answer, right? Perspective on how your team matches. So we were talking about another team going, man, he goes, I don't want to play those guys. So they're in first place in the West. So be careful about who you pick so it doesn't matter. And the second is, no, as a coach, you'd like 1 through 8. That's what you would like. Because, you know, 1 and 2 last year played in the second round. It was a hell of a series. So nobody in Nashville or Winnipeg got cheated if you bought tickets. That was outstanding. And that would be the third piece. I do understand that because of the structure of the format now, it is the biggest number of playoff games early, right? So there's more games being played because that, and that makes some sense, right? The first argument is go 1 through 8. The better teams have a better chance, right? You've earned that right. You play the bottom four, the series are shorter. Do it the other way and you're going to get some heavy matchups in that second round especially, and it's going to increase the number of games. So if I'm a hockey fan, I want to turn on the TV every night and I want a bunch of hockey games on. And at the end of days, we are here to put an exciting product on the ice for 2 straight months. So if the argument is that's the most exciting product, and they can probably statistically prove that there's more games being played because of the way it's structured right now, then that's absolutely the way it should be because it's about the fans.
Okay, so in the old days when Montreal and Boston would play in the playoffs or Calgary and Edmonton, then the next season when they'd play in the regular season, those games had more juice because they just had a war last spring.
Yeah.
Because the game isn't the war it used to be, is there still juice next year from something you did
last
year?
So we take 8 straight penalties in Nashville in our first game. Now, the two teams both showed up for a street fight. I think the referees thought that they would try to keep it nice. It wasn't going to be a nice game. And that was and that's happened with our Minnesota games and our Nashville games and our Vegas games. We've played pretty strong in those games, for sure, that there's way more in the next season after a playoff.